Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Warren.
And I'm Cam. And today we're drinking some beers I brought back from Port Alberni.
Awesome.
So we've...
Which is on Vancouver Island again.
Yeah. It's if you're heading up island at Nanaimo, you keep going. And then when you hit Parksville, you head west. So if you're on your way to Tofino, you'll pass through Port Alberni. And
Okay. Is that where Twin City is?
Yes. Yeah. They're in the same city. They're like literally a 5-minute drive apart.
Are they twins?
Awesome. Okay.
So Twin City.
Great breweries.
Too as well. Twin City, once again, won best brewery experience this year. I know they've been either top or runner up for the last couple of years for brewery experience. But this year they won it through the Growler magazine. So.
That's dope.
Highly recommend them as well. But Dog Mountain, I believe they opened in either late last year or early this year, which is a real rough time to be opening, as I'm sure Warren knows.
Terrible time.
Yep.
And I just wanted to show them a little support and try out the new kid on the block. So. I've gone there for lunch a couple times while I've been working, and their food program is fantastic. I highly recommend either the pulled pork sandwich or the donaire. Their beer, I've really only tried one or two, so I grabbed a mixer of some of the ones that I haven't tried, and let's go through them.
I'm hyped to try these. I've never had anything from them, so.
Oh, and
yeah, me neither.
One cool thing about the brewery there is they have a rooftop patio. They're kind of in Old Town Port Alberni, right by the movie theater. And from their rooftop patio on a clear day, you can see out into the port and where the mill is and everything. And it's a gorgeous view of the water. So
cool.
If you can get over there in the summertime, it's totally worth a lunch visit or... You know, if you're passing through, stop there for lunch or Twin City. You can't go wrong, really.
Nice.
Agreed. Yeah.
Also, let's really get into these Twin beers. City,
but... Let's do it. I'm already pouring the first one.
So for the first one, you were talking about a Belgian. Is that right?
Yes. So we're going with the Bees. That is literally the name. It's Bees! Exclamation mark.
Got to be honey in that bitch.
Belgian blonde ale with honey.
Called it.
6.3 ABV.
Really? For a blonde? Nice.
Yeah.
That's a little heavy.
That's the way it should be.
Nothing wrong with a blonde with a little weight to her.
Nothing wrong with that, big guy.
So, well, it pours like a blonde.
Yeah, it definitely pours like a blonde. Very thin and like head. Nice color, though. It looks like it's supposed to.
Nice, crisp, clean nose. Bit fruity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a little fruity. Pretty good head retention on mine. Like, not amazing, but decent.
Yeah, it's still sticking around.
It's kind of rocky, and yeah, I mean, it's going to dissipate quickly, but it's there.
Very effervescent on the pour, though.
Mm-hmm.
These labels are really odd, eh?
Well, I don't think they originally had planned for packaging and had COVID, so... The labels were kind
of funny. They've got like sort of like blanks in different colors, and then they've like printed on them with like a digital printer what's inside them along with a barcode. It's kind of I like it. It's kind of got a weird aesthetic to it.
But, yeah.
It'll make you look cool. For it, though. I mean.
Oh, it pops for sure. And
yeah, like it's, they're totally just, different cans.
Does your guys' have just the overview of the city?
Yeah. Like
it's, yep.
Yeah.
Overview.
Yeah, with things printed over it, like you got like on the side, you got the Brewed by Dog Mountain contains water is kind of just on top of the picture, which is not something you don't normally see. But maybe they print them in house. Maybe they bought a printer or some shit.
That's probably just some local printer.
So you said this was, you think this was filtered, eh, Cam? Because on the can it says it's a small batch craft
unfiltered, unpasteurized.
Beer, unfiltered, and unpasteurized. So
just probably
probably some finings or something that.
Yeah, probably.
Out, you'd be surprised, depending on the right kind of yeast. Just cold crashing and you know lagering for a few weeks will do the trick.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. It's not half bad.
I do. No, this is really nice. Back end.
It's a very nice, it's not like overly spicy. You don't get a ton of that bubble gum and like that Belgian characteristic, but it gives it enough that it's not a boring blonde to me.
Yeah, that's the hint.
Yeah, you notice it. You notice it for sure.
This reminds me a little bit of like Bernabarian, right? It's like a table beer, table Belgian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although, what did you say again? It was 6.3%.
6.3, so a little higher. Yeah. So a little further from the table, But it does have the characteristics.
It's
a little,
it's not quite as delicate and easy drinking as Bernabéry, but it's just like along those veins, you know?
But it's smooth. Like, this is one that you can have with any, really any kind of food pairing, and it's not going to be offensive.
It'd go nice with some greasy meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think I'd eat it with tacos, though.
No,
maybe not.
I couldn't, but I don't know. It is very nice, and like you guys were saying, I'm finding like the honey comes at the end though. There's a little bit of like sweetness. I'm getting anyways.
Same thing here. Yeah, it's got a little tiny sweetness in the end. That slight characteristic from the Belgian yeast. It's nice.
Yeah, that sweetness almost cuts into that spicy Belgian character and rounds it off nicely.
Well, it definitely finishes on the on that drier kind of bitter side.
Yeah,
like it transitions, takes you there.
Yeah, yeah. Like all in all, for a blonde ale, like most of the time I pick up a blonde and I go, "Oh, that was boring."
But now for the IPA or something.
Yeah, but this one's like this is one where if I was undecided and I went into the brewery and I was just like, you know what? I need something to drink while I think about what I want. This is one I'd order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a good daytime beer for sure. Like if you just want to go out and have a meal or whatever, you're like afternoon lunch, this would be a perfect beer where you could go back to work and not have to worry about breaking things.
Not overly heavy. You're not going to feel like you're bogged down after you have it. It's not overly boozy. So you... Yeah,
it's definitely not overly boozy. It's really nice, and this isn't a style that most of us normally go to. But I'd crush one of these on a patio, especially their patio. From the pictures I've been looking at, it looks fucking sick.
Yeah, yeah, their patio is super nice.
They took some good photos online where it's just like clouds and water. It's beauty.
Yeah. And their staff there, from talking to them, were all super awesome, very knowledgeable about the product. They all seem to be invested in the place, which is always nice when even when it's just table service.
That's dope. Small town feel though, you know.
When you can ask what yeast is in this, what hops are in this, and they can answer, and it's just the person serving your food, like that's always huge for me.
Well, you're gonna run into that kind of thing in a lot of places right now. I think through the winter, as you know, maybe they're not brewing as frequently and maybe the brewing staff is available. They might be working lounges and stuff, so they might be running into the actual brewing staff when you're going out for a pint anyways, right?
True. Oh yeah, and you gotta pivot and juggle your staff as best you can. Especially like I'd much rather they do that than lay people off. So
no doubt, especially in a small community like that, it's I feel like they'd all come together anyways, and that's probably why the staff is so cool there. Mm-hmm. Coming from Pitt Meadows, it's how normally we are. Well, now that we're getting a bit bigger, but.
Yeah, it's that small town neighborhood feel where you want everybody to survive because they're your neighbor, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Exactly.
So why did you pick this one to start with, Cam?
Basically, I wanted to get a good sampling of every type of beer that they had. So I wanted something light, something dark, something seasonal and an IPA, because, I mean, let's be honest.
So this is your something light?
This is the something light, and I actually didn't 6. Look 3, at the alcohol.
But the flavor is something light.
Well done. All right.
This is the light side of the flavor for me, so.
Yeah. It works. I just saw blonde ale. I didn't even look at the ABV, so that's on me, yeah.
We thank you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty easy drinking, right? It's not bad at all. So
I'm getting a lot of flavors though. The more I drink it, I keep picking up on little notes that I didn't taste on the first sip. So it is evolving as I drink it, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Now you mention it. It is changing.
The more I sip it, the more bubble gum I get.
Yeah.
It's almost a little drier.
Up. Yeah, I'm getting a dryer on my tongue every time I take a sip. It's it's a good first beer.
It is.
All right. Shall we move to the darker end of the spectrum here?
Let's do it.
All right. So we got the Log Train Ale, which is a British style dark ale.
Log Train.
We're gonna drop down to 4.2% here. So
choo choo.
I assume this is going to be more of a dark, mild style. But
it's not as dark as I thought it'd be pouring it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is more of a copper, actually.
Copper, ambery, yeah. I'm sitting in the dark a little bit more than you guys. Cam doesn't even have a camera on, so. Oh, yeah, no, it's totally coppery, ambery. Like, I can see through my glass and see the frosting on it. That's a
bit of a rocky head, but it's disappearing fast.
Yeah, it's another super effervescent. Head dissipates quickly.
A little bit roasty on the nose.
Yeah, getting a little bit roasty kind of on dark, the nose. Mild flavor profile on the nose for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely malty on the nose, just like a light malt, but I didn't pour a full glass either just because I got to put my kid to bed eventually.
Instead of the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. Daddy, you're too heavy to carry up the stairs.
I've definitely fallen asleep on my kid's floor while reading her a book before. So.
Oh, multiple times, dude. I did it and the kid poked me like, what are you doing here, Dad? I'm like, why aren't you asleep yet?
So this is interesting. They call it a British style dark ale.
Yeah, but it's more of that
whatever
copper
that's supposed to be. So. Yeah, it looks almost, it's almost into the brown ale territory, but not quite. And maybe it's even a little dark for a bitter.
It's like so almost amber ale color.
That's why they called it this. They didn't know what to call it.
Well, that's what we were saying. When you stepped up to grab your beer, and we were commenting on the color. And for a dark ale, it's totally coppery or whatever. How's it taste though, big guy?
Coppery.
See, I don't get that beer, Judge.
No, it's like...
It's not bad. It's really smooth to my palate.
Kind of minerally, it's a little sharp, you know, like... But yeah, it's kind of like halfway between a dark lager and a brown ale.
Yeah, you know, like Schwarz beer kind of.
Yeah, you get the roasty notes and stuff, but there's not really much sweetness or anything, right?
A little bit of nuttiness, roasty.
You get definitely the roasty notes. It's I'm not minding roasty, it caramel, for 4.2%
grainy,
though. It's like
nutty.
Yeah, grainy roasty. And nutty for sure.
It's not overly heavy either. Like
it's a 4.2.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's really smooth compared to what most dark ales I'm used to are like a bit heavier.
It's a 4.2, but it's got the body of something a little bit heavier, you know. But it's still.
It's almost, yeah, it's weird. It's almost like a bitter, but it's a.
It's a like if dark. You took a dark mild and a bitter.
Yeah.
And you had a baby.
And mixed them 50-50 kind of thing in your glass. Yeah.
Yeah, that is actually right. It's like they fucked and had a baby.
Is that how it works?
Say that? Oh, shit.
That's how babies are made. Oh, jeez.
Jordan's on here giving away secrets.
Oh.
I mean, I hope he knows how a baby's made by now.
This label doesn't have.
I do have one on the way, so I better know how it was made, or I wasn't involved.
Yeah, it looks like this is a picture of like old logging or something.
It's like a carving.
It's a wood carving with a train, and it looks like a train. Some kind of dude catching fish on the side of the river, or maybe the ocean.
Maybe he's mining.
It must be a local piece of carving.
It's probably local art or something. We should have done more research.
It's supposed to be a log train, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the guy's catching salmon right next to it. It's got to be a log train.
Or they're running a train on that dude because he is bent over.
Well, because there's a train on the other side.
Oh! Well, there's a log between him and the rail.
That's my joke. I'm sticking with it. So, Cam, what else can you tell us about this brewery? Do you know how many people they're allowed in right now?
I know downstairs they've got kind of their tasting room area and like to-go counter.
Yep.
Which I would say for COVID probably like 2 or 3 people max. Like it's a tiny front counter fridge and like bench seating with like one bar top kind of thing. And then upstairs on the upstairs patio, I think they've probably got room for 30 to 40 people. Oh. So like the upstairs patio is their main area that they're sending you to, unless you're just grabbing a quick flight and going.
Oh, that's interesting.
Covered?
Yes, they do have tents up now.
They just added that recently then.
Yeah. Yeah. The tents are very recent. They had just put them up the weekend before I went there to grab these. So that was about 4 weeks ago.
That's probably a cold weather thing rather than a COVID thing, eh?
Yeah. They've got like the hockey rink heaters in there and I doubt they would have kept it open as much if COVID wasn't a thing. Like they probably would have shut down
half
the patio because it's half of it was covered already and half of it wasn't.
Oh, interesting.
So they probably threw up the tents to just keep their seating capacity up so that they weren't hit as hard.
That's interesting. I was like, I just jumped online a couple minutes ago and actually checked capacity normally. And it says 124, which is pretty awesome. So when that patio is banging, must be a fun time.
Oh, yeah. You'd definitely think so. And when I was there in the summertime, even with like COVID going on, almost every table was full.
That makes sense too, though. It's how big do you figure that town is? Pretty small, right? I mean, Port Alberni. It's got to be smaller than Pitt Meadows. Give me a shot in life here.
I mean, I'd say it's probably about the size of Hope.
All right, so it's got no Hope.
Yeah, I'd probably compare them size wise to Hope, just ballparking. But I honestly have no idea.
Population of Port Alberni is 17,678.
All right, so I got them beat. Yes. Well, I'm just picking up the phone here, and I just realized they were also part of the All Together movement, and maybe I have tried them before.
Oh.
Yeah, when the whole COVID bullshit was starting.
Yeah,
that was that thing going on. Yeah, there's a lot from the island. I didn't know that.
Cool.
On another note, though, I just want to mention something from one of our last podcasts. We were talking about the Black is Beautiful movement, and they're starting to drop in BC now. And 33 Acres has just put one out.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I'm picking it up tomorrow.
I might have to do the same then, because I'd like to try some more versions of it.
Yeah, see if yours is better than theirs.
Well, I have no more left, so theirs is better. And it's still probably better.
Well, I re-listened to that podcast, and I think me and Warren both said yours is better. And, of course, Mike just like, nah, fuck it, theirs is better.
It was more to my taste.
Well, Well, I think that's part of that whole thing is that they're going to be different, coming from different brewers, different facilities, and that's part of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I saw one online that was 4.2%. It was just they didn't imperial it. It was just, I was like, whoa, that's different. You just went your own way, but
a breakfast quaffer.
Skipping that. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah. Drink it in the shower while you're shaving.
Shower beer.
Exactly. Well, should we pop into this next one?
Let's get into the red.
All right.
What's this one called?
Red Yeti.
This is the best label yet.
It looks like me with more hair color.
It looks like
me. This is one that they obviously had plans to can, because it has a proper label. And we even got some copy on there. So we got
woo-hoo!
A deep red ale brewed with BC-grown Sasquatch hops.
This is a cool label for
soft
sure.
Floral characteristics balanced with caramel malts for a smooth, satisfying beer.
Is it operator?
I'm interested to try this because I do like a good red ale every now and then. It's not my go-to, but if you find a nice one, they're really good.
That's part of the reason I picked it up. Because I was like, man, nobody really does red ales anymore.
Nobody does. It's like finding a good brown ale.
Yeah. Dude.
Oh, dude.
I like this.
The color on this one already is better than their dark. I'm sorry.
The cartoon Yeti, whatever, reminds me of something from a He-Man in the universe. Sure.
He looks like me when I get out of the shower. Hairy and jacked.
Yeah,
that's all. We all know that's lies. I'm just hairy and red, not jacked.
Nose is light, but it's nice.
It is light. It's very light compared to the dark ale.
I'm getting all nice hops up in my nose there.
I'm getting that Sasquatch hop profile for sure.
And then in the background, you got this caramel thing going on.
There's definitely a caramel back. Sure.
Oh, God, that smells good.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
Oh, wow. All right.
Oh.
I'm going to pour a little more in my glass because that's damn good.
Yeah, this is the best one yet.
A little bit of caramel in there, a little bit of floral hops.
Yeah, the hops keep it from being too sweet.
Definitely.
Like, it's the balance.
Tons of fresh hop aroma. Like lots of late additions. It's got that wicked aroma that smells like fresh hops, like crushed up in your hands.
And it's got a bit of a punch for red ale too.
It's got a great balance.
Yeah, it's not too malty for a red ale. Red ales a lot of time for me, they're really malty, like a lot of crystal malts and stuff. And this isn't too sweet or thick. This is really nice.
It's not thick. I don't know. I get like a little like biscuity flavor like on the mouthfeel.
It's almost like a red IPA, but it's quite strong enough.
Yeah, toned down.
They could have called it a red IPA almost.
Well, it's only 5.3, so that wouldn't fit in the category properly, I don't think.
Yeah.
But
red pale ale.
Kind of flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really nice. For a red ale, I really like this a lot.
By far, this is the best can art. And I don't know, they just nailed the profile too.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a good beer in a good can.
What's the IBUs and everything on this, does it say? 5.3, 27 IBU. Tastes about like that.
It's only 27 IBU, to be
honest. I was just about to say that because you get that nice hop in there.
Yeah, it's probably because they're late additions.
Because they're late, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know much about Sasquatch hop yet, and I was just looking it up here. And supposedly,
it's a good hop. We used it for one of our lagers.
Nice. Saying here it Where did it go? The most common impression was resinous woodiness and orange, yeah. But mint, soft floral, and even grape have been mentioned as being evident.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's interesting hop. I like it.
Yeah, I think we used it in the Tomer Hugger, I want to say.
Well, whatever, oh, yeah. Whatever it is, it's good. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Good job, Hops Connect.
Yeah.
Well, this is really, 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 really nice. Honestly, like, I know it's not time to ask the question, but hands up, this is my favorite of three so far.
Right? It's a perfect balance between the hop bitterness and the malt sweetness without being thick or heavy or
sweet
or candy.
And you know what? It's a super approachable beer, too. Like, this is one that I would give to people that, I'm not really a craft beer guy.
It's still pretty balanced, even though it's kind of hop forward. This is really nice, like, really easy.
Yeah, it's cool that the nice label is the best beer so far, in my opinion.
Almost like they knew.
Well, the fourth one doesn't have much of a label.
Yeah, the fourth one is basically a silver bullet with a tag.
Mine's peeling off from being like, in the fridge because it was too cold. I'm not sticking on.
You know what, though? Out of the four labels, I would say this one's given got to be an easy third place. Just the whole aesthetic. I love it. It's so industrial and everything.
The labels, the labels are dope on this one anyways. It almost makes me think, like, where did you get the originals printed that, like, you got this one rocking so good?
I think it's just the level of artwork. It's just it's a lower quality picture in the first two because everything else is printed just as well, right?
That does make sense, actually.
Lower resolution or whatever.
Or you're just figuring out how to work the program, even, like... Like, it's like me trying to work Apple Music.
And I don't know about, like, I didn't ask about size of their brewing capacity at Dog Mountain there, but, I mean, I wouldn't put them at a huge capacity at all. Their brew house was maybe, you know, a little bit bigger than Silver Valley. Like,
Really?
It's
a micro.
Well, Silver Valley's tiny. I mean,
Silver Valley
maybe 600 to 700 liters a batch.
It's probably double that.
If he's lucky.
I don't know. The building is
tiny,
deeper than it looks, so I might be under predicting. But
yeah, but pretty small equipment.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was a massive operation. It looked like it was a very small scale, but
yeah,
a lot of attention to detail.
If I remember correctly, Twin City was nothing massive. Yeah,
Twin City is not massive either, no.
Which makes sense. It's a small community.
I mean, Twin City,
a lot of the traffic are people just passing through, right?
Twin City, I'd put it the same size as like Field House's original brew.
Mm-hmm.
Brew house.
Yeah, maybe even a little smaller.
That's bigger than Silver Valley by far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Twin City versus Dog Mountain, right? So,
well, that's cool. So, I just looked a little something else up. Do you know who the head brewer is by chance or any of the owners?
I didn't get a chance to talk to anybody there, unfortunately. It was kind of an in and out of my lunch break.
In and out, grab us our stuff. Yeah. We love you for that, Cam on tap.
Yes. Thank you, Cam.
So it says, I'm just reading something. It's like a second reason to visit will be co-owner and head brewer, Robin Miles, sessionable beers. And that was just on May 20th. So it must be recent. So head brewer, Robin Miles, and he's a co-owner as well.
Well, there you go.
Doesn't say anything about the other owner, but.
So the brewer has some skin in the game.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good. Exactly, and he knows what you're going through with that COVID bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that reminds me, all the beers I got for us, so they have what they call their quarantine pack. So it was four packs for $60.
That's reasonable.
Which is actually a very reasonable deal.
That's a good deal.
That's super good.
Now, is that a bulk deal? You only get that price if you buy the four packs or whatever? Or?
Yeah, I think they're regular $16, $17.
You know, that makes sense. Yeah, good. I like that marketing idea, right?
So. Mm-hmm. And you can mix and match. So, like, you didn't have to get, like, everything the same.
Yeah.
That's even better.
So you got to pick different four packs kind of thing?
You can pick different four packs. You can just pick, like, all singles and just mix and match them however you want, as long as you're getting 16, right? So
yeah, as long as you're buying beer.
Yeah, and then I believe they were doing free delivery in the Port Alberni area, so.
Nice, that's
awesome.
A lot
of people are, yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people are starting to do that stuff right now, like ones that don't distribute as much. Like, I know Tin House, one of our friends there, they're got like flats on for sale right now of their lager, just trying to be like, hey, come in, grab this, help us mediate.
The beer industry is suffering so hard right now.
Well, it's just even V2V,
even the established
brewing
businesses who are getting government assistance are still struggling right now, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, if you're going to buy beer this Christmas season, bloody hell, buy it from a local craft brewery, please. Help keep these businesses going through the winter. I mean, this is going to be – winter's always slow, but without being able to do full business over the summer and into the fall, it's going to be a brutal winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, man.
Especially for the ones that are haven't been open for a year, so they can't apply for those business loans.
Anybody who opened during 2020 is going to be feeling it twice as bad as established businesses. So yeah, please try to concentrate on the new guys in town. They might not be proven, they might not be well known. Please spread the word.
But if you want to keep them around.
Yeah.
You know what?
Go ahead.
When this is over, Tim, one of our owners, Tim, brought up a good point within the last week or so when we were talking about business and how to survive and make it through till next spring, next summer. And he said, and I'd like to believe this is true, he said that when we are allowed to sort of get back to normal, when the restrictions are lifted and people can gather again and those kind of things, it's going to be a massive celebration. It's going to be like, World War II when it was over and, people are partying in the streets and everything. I believe, when we finally are able to lift and everybody can go and mingle again, businesses are going to do well. And just making it through to then is the goal, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of you guys will still make it through just from – like good beer, like I don't know even how else to say it, but these rules will be lifted soon. After Christmas, hopefully we'll get back to normal and everybody will cooperate.
Normal will be a bit longer.
Keep brewing good beer. People keep coming out for it because I know I've been going out for it. I know all of you guys have been going out for it.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
We're all advocates.
But everybody listen to this. Do your fucking part. Buy beer. Local beer.
So, buy beer anyways, buy local beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I can say the last thing I said on the other podcast, but we'll save that for another time. Am gets it. All right, so should we crack into the El Dorado?
Get into it.
This one sounds so promising.
It's a DIPA, too. You said it was an IPA.
El Dorado Double IPA.
Oh, bro, you tricked us. We thought we were having this little IPA.
Oh, I knew better.
8.9%.
The whole sound of this, to me, just sounds like it should be awesome.
I love how their logo is upside down, too, on the can.
That's cool. 100 plus IBU?
100?
100 plus, it says. So yeah, 100 plus. So basically what that means is they poured in way too many hops, and it's off the chart.
No, just enough, Warren, just enough.
All right. Let's see if Fat Tug beats him.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dude, that nose.
Biggest nose of the night so far.
So far, so good, you mean? Oh. I'm pouring more into my fucking glass.
I'm getting dank. Malty. I'm getting malt and dank. Danky, yeah.
There's a little bit of the brighter notes in there as well.
Definitely fruity.
Holy fuck.
Berry kind of fruity.
Kind of fruit on the nose for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've already stopped smelling. I'm drinking.
Wow. Oh, Jordan. Oh,
and then if he keeps
the look on your face, man.
Boozy,
it's so good. It's really good.
You can chew this beer.
And it almost, it reminds me of kind of a homebrew in a sense. It's like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of Mike's double IPA, but just like
better,
different notes.
Oh, it's piney, it's resiny.
I was hammered when I tried that, though. It is.
Piney, resiny, like malty, sticky.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely resiny.
Yeah, this is like
definitely malty.
This is what I was trying to brew.
Shades of that West Coast old school IPA. Like,
it finishes so ridiculously bitter, it's insane, but it's like late edition bitterness too. It's like super high notes.
I don't even think it's like super bitter, it's just super resinous. Like piney, sticky.
Wow.
A little bit of fruit in there still, but this is what I was trying to do on my latest homebrew that it didn't taste like this, but this is good.
Oh, you got to put this in about four times this more is hops, good. Mike.
I'm going to.
So I'm going to retract my statement about the cool-ass can and go to the weirdest-looking shit can. That's the new best.
The can's a creeper, right? It doesn't look like anything menacing or, you know.
Well, if you go from the Red Yeti that we had last time and the El Dorado that we're drinking right now, the double IPA. We have a beautiful can as the Red Yeti that's proper. And then there's literally, like, I could print this on a label. This is a label that they printed label off the computer just to get it out.
Staples.
I think it's a really label sticker that you can print on your own computer.
I think what's happening here is off, the Red Yeti is probably one of their like main cores. Looking at it,
right,
and then the other two are like some pretty like stable beers that they have around quite a bit. And this one's a one off, probably.
Right.
Well, Dog Mountain, switch it up. You need a new label for this beer because it's amazing.
So I'm looking at this label again. It says packaged on September 29th, 2020. So,
wow.
At least it hasn't fallen off that much, really.
Or if it's fallen off, holy shit.
Yeah.
Or just aged well somehow.
You're seeing that on the...
It's on the very top. You have to like look at it upside down, though.
Don't turn the can upside down. Warren.
It's on the very top of the label.
Oh, there.
Please do turn it upside down, Warren. I want to see you get wet. Not in that way.
Yeah, 09/29/2020. Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, and great. So you're telling me that a month or two ago, this was even more insanely off.
Sounds good. I remember this is the one that I did try at the brewery. And yeah, it like blew my socks off when I tried it there. And it, honestly, it hasn't really lost much at all, if anything.
I poured the entire can into my cup.
I did, too. As soon as I tasted the first sip, I was like, ha.
It's so insanely delicious and intensely hoppy. It's ridiculous.
It's awesome. Insanely intensely hoppy, but it hides the alcohol so well.
It totally does.
It's almost like a sweetness to the alcohol coming in.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the Hop Wars from, like, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Oh, that's a total blast from the past, but that's why I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow.
I've been waiting for somebody to do this beer, and then when I was there, I'm like, yes, finally.
And so how much did these cost per can, Cam?
Oh, they were part of that deal.
They are part of the deal?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, you really took advantage of them.
Oh, you bet.
This beer's got to be $6 a can, easy. They put a lot of hops in this sucker.
Yep.
But when you have a smaller brewery with a smaller system, you can, like, there's an economy of scale, but at the same time, if you got a bunch of hops kicking around.
I'm looking up online. I'm actually on their website, and it literally says in their quarantine pack that Cam was talking about. So they got 16 beers and they're all different, and it's only $3.75 a can.
Wow.
$60 for 16 cans. You get the El Dorado, Lit Wit, McLovin. Oh, fuck, I love that. McLovin. Hibiscus Ale, Long Lost Lager, the Red Yeti, Entertaining Tsunami, Hazard Zone IPA, Leaving Tsunami Hazard Zone IPA, Bee's Belgian Ale with Honey, and the Log Trail Ale. So we've had a couple of those.
Which How many is pretty, beers is that?
That's 16 at $3.75 a can.
How many different
Like eight or nine.
Yeah. It says it's a mix and match, but yeah, you can pick from any of those. I love that. I would love to try the entering and exiting Tsunami Zone.
So it's 10 beers.
10 different kinds, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're claiming to have, so they got 12 taps in the tap room. The rooftop patio is the one that seats like that 148, and whatever inside's probably like a little.
Yeah, they're inside downstairs is tiny because they converted a bunch of it to kitchen, I think.
Mm. That makes sense.
But
gotta feed those hungry, cold people in the patio.
Yeah. when I was there, like the options, they like those are their beers that they make, but the options in the fridge don't necessarily reflect all of that based on that, and, you know, because they're on a smaller system. The entering and exiting Tsunami Zone were really good, actually, when I was there, because the entering is like an ISA version, and the exiting is their IPA version of their hazy.
That's dope.
As far as I know, they're the same hop profile. One's just higher alcohol than the other. And they do taste completely different, just based on like boil times and hop additions that they've done, but it's the same base recipe.
Nice.
One's just made to be a little more sessionable, lower IBU, and the other one, they just went balls to the wall with it. So
I'm glad they went balls to the wall. It's working out.
Well, yeah, and this El Dorado, like,
wow.
Yeah. I had it on a flight. Because I was like, at 9%, I don't think I could do a pint of that and then drive. So
no.
Yeah, not in the company truck.
No.
No, you can't drive with that. But this would be great on a flight when flying is a thing again.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wouldn't happen, but.
Well, I'll just do it in the parking lot of the airport if that's okay. No, honestly, though, I really, really am enjoying this. It's good for double IPA. Like, this is probably their best one that they should probably print a label out for.
Agreed. I'm sure they have by now. I've probably just had really bad timing for them, but
yeah, it was probably one of those ones that you just want to get it out. You're canning it.
Yeah.
Put a label on it. Oh, we got a computer. These are like the Staples little,
you know what?
Labels. I
bet you this would sell so well on its own that it doesn't even need a label. They just put on the bare minimum. Right?
Yeah. Because save your costs.
They already
on the
knew
artist.
It was pre-sold, right?
they spent the money on the hops.
Right. They spent all the money on the hops, so there's nothing left over for the label.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it'll bring people in.
Again, like, fantastic people that were there. I only had a limited time, so I didn't get a chance to interact with everybody, but the people that were there that I was able to talk to were fantastic.
So now there's at least two good reasons to go to Port Alberni.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good.
What's the first one?
Twin City.
Twin City.
Oh, I thought it was Canada.
The other brewery.
Come on, Jordan.
I'm trying to be an asshole. Let it work.
Well, you don't have to try.
I know that. I just want the world to know. Come on.
When COVID's over, you and me will go to Port Alberni, okay, Jordan?
Promises, promises. All right, boys. I'm about to do it. We'll start off with Warren.
Yeah.
As always, what's your favorite, bro?
You know what? I really like the Red Yeti because it was freaking delicious and different and unusual. And yeah, it was easy to drink, too. It was really good. I like it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too, man. It was a good brew for sure. Cam, what you doing?
I mean, the Eldorado is the, like, standout, punch you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Great beer. But if I'm going for one that I'm going to drink every day, I'm taking the Red Yeti.
Yeah, I can see that. Mike, give me yours.
I'm going to have to go for the Eldorado. I've been wanting to kind of get back and try some of those old Hops Race beers that no one makes anymore. And it's kind of nice to be able to try one of those ones. It kind of just punches you in the face a bit. It's still not as bitter as some of those old ones were, but it has like the pine and resin and all that to the same levels.
Yep.
So I'm all in for that. Yeah, it brings you back
to that day.
All right, Jordan, what do you think? What's your favorite?
Hey, Jordan, what do you think is the best one?
Sorry, I had to be a
ginger. Fuck.
I know, right?
My like soul.
But honestly, I'm going straight with Mike, man. It's the Eldorado was amazingly good, but then right on the back is like something I could sip on every day, the Red Yeti.
Yeah, Red Yeti is my number two.
Amazingly brewed.
Wow, like, you made up a new word.
No, I'm just slurring because I had four beers.
During the podcast, not counting the ones you had before.
That's right.
Those don't count.
My family listens. Shut up.
Oh my.
No, they don't.
I was going to say, if you want some editing magic, you just e-transfer me some.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you want to find us on social media, you can go to @ Pacific Beer Chat. You can go to our website, pacificbeerchat.com. If you want to email us, hit us up at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. Or if you want to get a hold of Jordan, jordan@pacificbeerchat.com. If you want to help support us, you can go to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. The money goes towards their hosting and getting better equipment, all that kind of stuff. So shout out to our Patreon supporters, Indie Beer Show and Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Cheers, boys.
We're going to have to get, we're going to have to find a sponsor that does beard products, I think.
Yours is so tiny, Warren.
I know. I took it all off this summer, but you know what? I'm coming back, bro.
Well, there you go. See it. If you own a company that deals in beard products, hit us up.
That's why I'm not on video. I keep trimming mine back.
We're looking at you, Pacific Shavers.
Pacific non-shavers.
We got some nice beard products, too.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.